Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
It's alive! It's alive!
AI on Lunchtime Live.
Yeah, we've been talking about the capabilities of artificial intelligence all this week on the show, from its impact on the music world. We've been talking about how it's changing salaries in the workplace and the work environment. But today we want to talk about AI and the arts and technology. So Caoimhe Lavelle, who's a Dublin artist, poet and cartoonist, is with me, along with the director and founder of the Beta Festival, Aisling Murray. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
In the spirit, I suppose, of the arts and technology, and considering yesterday was Poetry Day, AI has penned us a short poem by way of an introduction. I can't take any credit for this, but you can tell me how good it is. In the realms of art and verse, you'll find Caoimhe Lavelle, both bright and kind, a cartoonist's touch, a poet's grace. She paints the world in a vibrant space. With Aisling Murray by her side, Beta's Festival's heart and guide, Andrea Gilligan leads the way in Lunchtime Live, where stories play. I can take no credit for that, actually. But what is the impact of AI in the arts at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I suppose one way to look at it is that artificial intelligence is a new tool for creativity. And artists have always, they have a long-standing tradition of embracing new tools and new technologies, everything from photography and film. And so I think, you know, one way to think about it is the way in which artists can co-create using artificial intelligence. There are certainly things to be cautious about and the way that data is collected and trained to create these AI models. But there are ways to be playful with it as well. Actually, last year in Beta Festival, an artist called Joanna Walsh had a piece called Miscommunication, where she trained, based on the letters of Countess Markovitch, an AI version of Countess Markovitch, wow, so that you could actually talk to Countess Markovitch. So there are kind of playful ways that you can look at doing this. You know?
Do you know, but the thing is, we're all kind of using it really at the moment, Aisling, because sure, we all have filters in our phone.
Exactly. Yeah. Auto text.
Don't get me wrong. There are times I love a good filter the odd day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, the spam folder in your email, like, it's AI has been around us for years. It's just, I suppose, the generative AI is kind of pushing it forward and become much more dominant in the past year with things like DALL-E and ChatGPT.
Where does it overstep, Caoimhe, though? Like, is somebody, you know, you are a poet. So, I mean, you know, do you listen to that quick poem we got AI to put together and go, my job is safe, or...
Yeah, in a way. And I think, like, as a poet and a cartoonist and artist as well, or like a visual and verbal communicator, yeah, I do feel like it's never going to recreate something with soul and with like intention. You can probably have fun with it. I'm probably a bit more traditionalist or like a bit of a romantic kind of hand draw everything. But also, like, I don't know. I think it's a gratification loop that actually takes you away from practice. And I think most art actually happens like in practice, in making mistakes or happy accidents or kind of handling materials. I do think that people are almost robbing themselves of the opportunity to write a poem or to draw a picture or things that I think everyone has the ability to do.
Yeah, but when you think of, like, you know, just when we marry this with the discussion we had yesterday about how AI is impacting the work environment, like, you can nearly see how some employers would start to look at, like, say, areas around graphic design. You know?
Yeah, although, like, I have seen reports online as well of art directors anonymously kind of reporting that, you know, prompters have already been hired into their pipeline and they're having a huge struggle because of how time consuming it is, because they can't really, as prompters, take on feedback and change just very specific things because they don't really know how to kind of get in and alter the image themselves. Okay. So apparently, like, it's in kind of the art direction department anyway, is maybe currently causing more problems.
Do you know, we were talking about AI previously on the show here a couple of months back, and we actually had one caller get in touch who's an author, and she got in contact to tell us how she uses AI programs to assist with writing.
I use it for instance, if I'm stuck trying to describe a scene or thinking of another way of explaining something or describing something in a story, I'll pop it into ChatGPT, I'll ask the question, and it gives me ideas. For instance, I played with it there the other week, and I just put, can you describe a scene of Mary walking into a hotel and seeing her ex-boyfriend with another man? You know, what would that look like? What would it, what way would it play out? And the, what it gave back to me was really good.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, Aisling, that really divided opinion about, you know, the idea of an author using ChatGPT to maybe just see or help describe a scene or give ideas or suggestions, because people are going out to buy a book, you know. And but maybe that's the smart way. Maybe it increases productivity. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I suppose also the thing with ChatGPT is, in a way, where it's a case of getting the first lines down on paper, isn't it? We're all kind of better editors as well. But it's, I suppose, looking at the brainstorming possibilities that these tools give you, and particularly, okay, so ChatGPT, if you engage with the free version, you're using an AI tool that has a predetermined data set. However, you can also create your own data sets. So say, for example, if an artist is to put all of their previous writing into an AI model and then train it based on their own writing, then they're essentially brainstorming with themselves. There's actually, I know you discussed music already, but there is a beatboxer from the UK called Reeps One, who collaborated with Nokia Bell Labs, and he trained an AI on all of his beatboxing, and he really credits this AI tool with really helping him expand the boundaries of his practice, because it essentially gave him sounds that he would never have considered using with his voice that now he does create with his voice. So it does, I mean, I think it's a case of having a dialogue with it and seeing what can come up.
Yeah, just Kelly, your own tech correspondent, was here earlier in the week about this, Cuivin. She sort of described it as her, it's kind of like her personal assistant, she said. You know, it's a helper, but not a tool that she lives and dies by or totally relies on.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand how it would be useful in kind of short, little time-consuming tasks and that sort of thing. I, going back to like how I'm a bit of a Luddite, like I do think an essential part of writing is the face-off that you have with the blank page. So
I'm a little bit like you with that.
No, I think almost like you have to maybe dig inside your mind or in a different way. And I guess AI gets you quicker into that flow, you know, where something is there and then you can amend it and change it and stuff. And
when you talk to your colleagues, like as a poet and cartoonist, how concerned are you at the moment, we'll say, of as to where AI is and its capabilities right now?
I mean, I don't think anything, I don't imagine any kind of breakthrough poetry coming through this, even though like I love using language from advertising and that kind of thing and like automatic writing techniques. Like I think those are fun things to experiment with. But I don't know. I would be maybe surprised if I was kind of blown away by an AI poem. But I also think like poets are particular people, but also poetry is there for everyone when they need it someday. And sometimes it might be a life experience that they
encourage, you know, other people to dabble in it maybe a little bit, Aisling. I don't know, would it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's, you know, looking at the inspiration points that it can give people. But I think, you know, I agree with Cuivin that I don't think it's, there needs to be intention there. And you know, that's also like the audience reading the intention in it or reading the emotion in it. But the thing is, like, you know, really good artwork is about the human centered piece in it, you know, and actually being human is kind of imperfections. So people aren't looking for absolute perfect. And through kind of the handmade and the human creation, you get a lot of that as well.
It's been really interesting learning about the impact and capabilities of AI all week. If you're just joining us today and you've missed any of the chats we've had, whether it's about the workplace, recruitment, how it's impacting salaries at the moment, music and the arts, you can listen back. The podcast is up actually wherever you get your podcast or the Go Loud app. You'll be able to listen back to AI on Lunchtime Live. Really fascinating insights if you're looking for more information about where artificial intelligence is at the moment. Cuivin Lavelle, who's a Dublin artist, poet and cartoonist, and Aisling Murray, director and founder of the Beta Festival. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.